And so we continue reading through the epistle to the Philippians today in chapter 1, and let's reread beginning with verse 3 through verse 8. Paul writes, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I love you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and in the confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. Because God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ." We've been talking about the Apostle Paul's love for this church and this church's love for the Apostle Paul and some of the cooperation that is occurring there between them, the fellowship that is occurring between them. And it's based on some things that we've already looked at, beginning with verse 3, that Paul expresses a confidence in what God is doing in the life of these believers in this church. And first of all, in verse 5, just as review, remember Paul uses the word fellowship. And when we talked about fellowship, it is a word that has a lot of similar words and terms, both in our Russian language and in our English language. And it includes the idea of participating and or sharing in something together. And what are some of the things that this church was sharing with the Apostle Paul? First of all, Paul talks about not just his ministry, but he talks about their ministry of their church. He talks in verse 5 about the proclamation of the gospel, your fellowship in the gospel. It's not the gospel in terms of just our salvation that we have experienced, but it's the actual process that they were involved in their daily lives and spreading the word and the good news. The gospel means good news, and so they were spreading the good news to the people of that particular city. And, of course, had a part in the proclamation that Paul was doing in all the cities that he was traveling in. And this is part of why Paul says that I have confidence in you. I have seen with my very own eyes what God has been doing through you. Everything that we do as Christians is done in the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of God. There is nothing that we can do on our own. It is Christ that lives through us. It is the power of Christ with which, and the power of the Holy Spirit that enables us to live a holy and a godly life and to do ministry. And so Paul expresses with joy in prayer to God and thanksgiving for their ministry. In verse 6, he says, "I'm confident that God has begun this work in you, this good work in you. He will complete it until Jesus Christ comes again." This is talking, or Paul is making reference to their faithfulness. When we looked at this verse several weeks ago, we didn't talk about this term, this word, faithfulness. Or another similar word is the word endurance. In Hebrews, we read, the writer says that, "Run with endurance the race that has been set before you." And immediately you can begin to think about the Olympics or some other race, or maybe the marathon, where you start out and you run the path that's been set down for you to run. And Paul, he says, "I am confident that the faithfulness that I've seen in you, I will continue to see it until Jesus Christ comes again." Faithfulness is related, of course, to our faith itself. It is a gift from God. It is not something that we as human beings, and is not anything that we as Christians even have. The faith we have, or the faithfulness to do ministry for the Lord in the church or wherever we are, perhaps on a mission field, is a result of being gifted of this gift from God. And notice Paul speaks in three terms: from the first day when I met you, until now, until today, and until the day of Jesus Christ. And he encompasses the entire history of of their life or their intertwining life as they work together. And then this word confidence, it talks to us about the assurance that we have of our faith. We talked this morning a little bit in our message, Pastor was talking about the faithfulness of God in providing salvation for us. And it's got nothing to do with our efforts. It's everything that God has done. Paul goes on in Romans 8 there at the end of the chapter that we didn't get into this morning, but Paul says there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. The assurance that we have of our salvation. You know, very few Christians, you hear very few Christians really talking with boldness and with confidence about the things that God is doing on a daily basis in their life that is a demonstration that we are the children of God. Paul writes in Romans that if you don't have the Holy Spirit, then you don't belong to God. But in Galatians, Paul writes, if you have the Holy Spirit produces His fruit in your life. Love, peace, joy, long-suffering, on and on and on. The things that the Holy Spirit produces in our life. And these are the things that give us assurance and confidence that we are children of God. And Paul is seeing these things in their life. And he says, I'm confident because I'm seeing these things in your life. Jesus said, you will know them because they have fruit. Fruit that corresponds to biblical teaching. Jesus said in another place that each particular tree has to have its own particular fruit. In other words, an apple tree doesn't produce oranges and a pear tree doesn't produce pomegranates or whatever else grows on a tree. Each tree has to have its own specific fruit. And in Galatians, Paul has two lists of characteristics. In chapter 5, he has a characteristic of unbelievers, and then he has characteristic of what the Holy Spirit produces in a believer. And Paul says, because I see these things in your life and in your ministry, I can thank God and I can be confident that this is God's work in your life. It's not something I've done or something you've done. It's God doing it in your life. Something else that Paul says that gives me confidence in you, in the Philippian church, is verse 7. Paul says, it is right for me to feel this way. It is correct. It is proper. When Paul sees these things, he can rejoice and he can thank God in prayer. And we've talked about the fact that Paul was a man of prayer. And he expresses this confidence and his boldness about these believers. To put it in our language, he could go to God's throne and he could brag about these believers. And he was assured and he was confident that they would continue. And I'd like to ask us today is look at the person sitting next to you or behind you or standing here in front of you. Do we have that kind of confidence and boldness in what God is doing in our life and in our church to say that we know that you are the child of God and you are the child of God and we all are the children of God doing ministry here? And does it give us joy that God is doing this in our life? Paul says, you can have this joy. You can have these thoughts. It is right to have these thoughts. Why? Because I have you in my heart. What does it mean to have somebody in your heart? I think a husband and a wife, you couples especially, but some of us have been married many more years than you guys. Do you see that love among us? Do we see it in each other? That's a human love. And Paul here is talking about the love he has for them because they are in his heart and in his mind. And why is Paul continuously thinking about them? He tells us, he says, you are in my chains. Who was sitting in jail and who was chained up? Paul or the Philippians? And to Paul, the way they were treating him and the way he loved them and the way they loved him was as if they were there with him together. They were participants. They had the fellowship of his chains. Fellowship in the sense that they were participants. The gospel, not just today, but the gospel back in the days of the Apostle Paul, was a gospel that proclaimed a king and a kingdom. All right, you get that? You have a kingdom and you have a king over this kingdom. And Paul was proclaiming, and the Philippian believers and all the other New Testament churches and believers were preaching A king in a kingdom that was greater than Caesar and Rome. And that's why Paul was in jail, and that's why he was in chains. And Paul is talking about these believers, and he says, you came to my defense. And you not only came and you stood by me when I was on trial, and they literally perhaps were not in that courtroom, but they supported him at the risk of their own life and at the risk of personally also being arrested. Because not just Paul preached this King Jesus Christ and this kingdom of God that is greater than Caesar and greater than Rome, but anyone that was a friend of the person doing it was suspect. He was an accessory to the crime in our modern language. And as you know today, if you are an accessory to a crime, you can be put away just as readily, just as quickly as the person that commits a crime. And so, Paul was accused of revolution and insurrection, of starting something against Rome. And they were supporting him in this. And they stood in defense of Paul. The other thought that comes across here, Paul says that you were at my defense at the confirmation of the gospel. You were partakers of me, of God's grace. What is the confirmation of the gospel? It is the things that God does in our life. What has God done for us? He's given us eternal life. He's given us heaven. He's pardoned us from our sins. He's given us peace with God. We read Romans 8:1 this morning. There is now no more condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 5 talks about the peace that we have with God now. They were all participants with Paul in the grace of God. The things that Paul experienced, these believers were experiencing, and Paul forever and ever had them on his heart and on his mind, always praying for them. Paul says, because of this, because of all of these things that I see in your life, I'm confident in you because I see that God is doing this in your life. And you could think confidently and positively and boldly about the Philippians, just like it was for him. Who do you have in your heart? Obviously, the Lord, Holy Spirit dwelling in your life. But do you have each other and your church here in your heart as the first place? Are these the people, is our church, are we the most important people to each other? Or do we have closer and dearer friends and things outside the church? It's a good question to have. Paul had these feelings not just for the Philippian believers, but for every believer that he ever met. He had that kind of love and feelings for people that were unbelievers. He wanted them to be part of the body of God. And verse 8, Paul goes on and he says, God is my witness, how much I would like to be with you. I long for you. Remember the psalm, like a deer longs for water when it's thirsty? Dave says, in the night and during the day, my heart, it thirsts for God, the true and living God. There were times in David's life when he was away from the Lord, and when he confessed his sin and came back to the Lord, he experienced the joy of salvation all over again. And Paul's talking about this longing for these believers, this innermost hunger and thirst to be with them. And he says, God is my witness. What Paul is saying, he says, God is every place, all the time. He knows everything, sees everything, hears everything. He says, I'm calling God down as my witness that these feelings I have for you are real, they're genuine, and not because they're mine, but because God put those feelings for you in my heart. Why is Paul saying this? When you read Paul's autobiography, when he talks about himself in Galatians, when you read about Paul in Acts, remember the background of Paul? He was a Jew of Jews. In Russian, they say, Yevreis, Yevreis. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. You know, he was a Pharisee. He says that nobody could say anything about my desire to serve God. And he says, and I hated everybody that followed this Christ. He says, you Philippians and me, we've got nothing in common. I don't have this love because it's my natural love for you. I have this love and this longing for you because God put it in my heart. God took us as strangers and brought us together, and now we are one. Paul says, you have participated with me. I would really love to see you. Paul is heartsick. He's in jail. He's in chains. He maybe broke down and perhaps cried. Maybe was a little depressed. But then he found joy in knowing that these Christians were standing by me. Heard Elvis's song yesterday, Stand By Me. And kind of reminded me a little bit as I was preparing this. And kind of, you know, I don't know what happened to Elvis. He strayed off the path that he was taught, you know, but not the Philippian believers. And that brought Paul great joy. Amen.